The following session is from the 2016 NCHE Thrive Homeschool Conference. For additional recordings, visit nche.com.
I'm so glad you guys are all here. If it's okay, which it has to be, I'm going to stand down here because it seems really dark up there. That way I can see you better. You should be able to hear me and follow along anyway. So let's pray together as we get started. Father, we're grateful for such a wonderful opportunity to be together at this conference and to learn so much and to meet great people who are going along the same journey that we are. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised to supply everything that we need for the tasks that you give us and the task of raising and educating our children, Lord. We know you have given us this task and that you can provide all that we need. And so we trust you, we give you this time and ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding and confidence in this task, and we thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Wasn't too long ago, I was speaking to a mother who had just had one of her, or actually her second child who'd graduated. So she had a couple of children who had recently graduated and been sent off from homeschooling, and I said, "How are they doing?" And I thought this was going to be a fairly simple, innocent question, but she was glowing and told how well they were doing and what they were accomplishing. And then, a little surprisingly to me, she starts tearing up. And she said, "I'm just glad they made it." And she literally starts crying and said, "I don't know how they made it. I had no idea what I was doing." She didn't want me to give her credit, apparently, for how great her children were. She said, "It was just the grace of God." You know, and she's just... And so she made it, and her kids turned out great, but she wasn't sure how she accomplished that. She was not homeschooling with confidence. She did well somehow. That's great. So if you want to accidentally do it, that's great. But you can know what you're doing. You can have confidence. One of the reasons that we don't have confidence is because we have a sense of being overwhelmed by the task. There's so much knowledge to impart. There's so much to accomplish before they graduate, and that's overwhelming. So a lot of people, especially moms, feel very overwhelmed. It's oppressive when they think of all that they have to do. And I've heard a lot of moms, especially this one friend of mine, she says over and over, "I know, I'm just ruining them. I know it. I'm just ruining my kids. They're going to be ruined, and I don't know how they're going to turn out." And so there's a great sense of gravity to my responsibility, you know, what it is I'm trying to do here. And there's fear and anxiety along with this. So how can we have confidence? And one way is by making sure that we have a very clear mission of what we're trying to accomplish through our home education and a clear strategy. I know what I'm trying to do and I know how I'm trying to do it. And that's one of the things, so that's basically the most important thing we're going to talk about today is that. And I want to give you this Bible verse, I hope you can see it okay, Proverbs 14:6, to give you a theme or a picture of the overall idea that we're looking at. "A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding." This is the verse you were looking for. Knowledge is easy, right, for homeschool. Did you know that there was a thing in the Bible? Knowledge is easy. We just hadn't figured out how are we going to get knowledge is easy, right? Well, it tells us, for a man of understanding. The first thing we realize is that knowledge and understanding aren't the same thing. Because one brings the other. And I'm going to say another good word for understanding is wisdom. We're not just having facts. We're understanding, right, what's right and wrong. We're understanding the meaning and significance of those facts. So wisdom is more. And so if we want to have knowledge that is easy, here's the fundamental part of this whole session, then what we're aiming for is wisdom, not knowledge. And if you're aiming for wisdom, you're going to have a different strategy to get there. And if you're aiming for wisdom, knowledge is easy. So the big thing we're going to, and by the way, this is going to sound like I'm going to be bashing knowledge this whole session, but I'm not. Knowledge is very important. The Bible talks about that we want to seek knowledge, and we're going to talk about that too. So I'm not bashing knowledge, but we have to understand that knowledge has a very specific role in our lives. And I want to tell you what's happened in our culture. We have elevated knowledge to the end-all, be-all of education. And so when we look at public school, for example, and most of us are products of public school still, what are we teaching for? The test, right? For the degree, for the passing grade, for, you know, but we're not teaching for understanding, which is a completely different goal, and we're going to unpack this. Here's one of the other reasons that we're stressed. We try to take what we've learned as a educational model from public school, and then we just try to go home and do it in the kitchen. And I want to tell you that the educational model that public school is set up on isn't good, fundamentally. And it's frustrating. So let's unpack this now. That's kind of the overview, and we're going to talk about why it's not good and how we want to do things differently. Because here's what's great. We can have confidence that we're doing this the way God wants us to, that we're trying to accomplish what He wants us to do. We don't have to do this in fear, with anxiety, and wondering how it's going to turn out. And the reason we're going to have confidence is because we're not going to be overwhelmed by knowledge and what that means. And so here's the first point I want you to think about. Aim for more than knowledge. Are we aiming for knowledge? Yes. But that's not where we're stopping. We're aiming for more than knowledge. Once again, we look at the public school system or university system. We're looking at degrees. We're looking at tests. We're looking at exams. And we want to know if you learned data and facts. That's what we want to know. And that's how you succeed, is by learning stuff. I learned when I was in school, graduate school, I learned Hebrew. Like, I couldn't speak it, but I was supposed to be able to write it and read it. And I did. I did a whole year of Hebrew, and guess what grade I got? An A, of course. I got an A. And I remember the strange feeling of sitting down at my final exam and looking at those strange characters on the page and understanding it. And I translated it. It was amazing. And all of my Hebrew knowledge I left on that page, on that paper that I turned into my teacher, and I walked away. Now, we know that language acquisition requires repetition and use, right? And so, do you know why I walked away? Because I didn't understand. I probably could have answered it, but I didn't grasp in my heart why it was so important for me to know Hebrew. Do I wish that I knew Hebrew today? I want to tell you, you might go, probably not. Actually, I do. Because I love the Bible. I love reading the Old Testament. I wish I knew more of the original language of the Old Testament so I could understand, you know, but I lost it. Because I wasn't thinking about anything besides passing my exam, passing my class, getting my degree, and getting my job. I'm just telling you. I was in graduate school, just still running the race, jumping through the hoops. And I lost a valuable opportunity to have knowledge that I used for something more than jumping through a hoop. So we want to aim for more than knowledge. The reason that we learn stuff, usually in real life, is because we have a specific purpose that we're trying to accomplish. That's normal. Okay? School isn't normal. But when we're trying to learn stuff, we have something we're trying to do. Like when I first started gardening, I didn't know how to garden. So what did I do? I educated myself. I looked stuff up. I read books and asked people. And I learned how to garden. You might have hobbies. Think of all the things that you've learned that you didn't learn in school that you needed to learn to do something specific, right? And most of the time, we don't review knowledge that we don't need. For example, maybe some of your kids know all the U.S. presidents. But do you know all the U.S. presidents? Some of you might. Does anybody know all the U.S. presidents? Okay. I have not recently just gone, you know what? I think I'm just going to review all the U.S. presidents. And you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? The periodic table. And the next day, I'm going to pull out my geometry theorems or whatever those are. You know, do you do that? Do you just, I'm just going to brush up on this stuff. You don't because you don't need it. Now, am I saying those things are things we shouldn't learn? No, I'm not saying that. You should have exposure to all those kinds of things. And a lot of people need to know those things for the field or specific thing they're going into, which is wonderful. But here's my point. We don't want knowledge for itself. That's not real life. We want knowledge for something else. It has to have a purpose. So what's the purpose? What are we trying to have knowledge for? Here's what you want to do. You want to aim for more than knowledge. You want to prepare your children to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Here's the purpose. Here's the point of your education. It's not to give them knowledge, period. It's to give them the knowledge and skill they need with wisdom so that they can go do something. And we want that do something to be God's purpose for their life. He's already given us the end. Knowledge is the means to an end. What's the end? What's the purpose? Well, he's given it to us. What's the purpose of our life? Well, in Deuteronomy 6, right? Jesus called, later he called it the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength. That is our purpose. And Jesus said, and here's the bonus answer. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul said, all the commandments are fulfilled in this. So we have love God and love people, and we can throw in the Great Commission because our heartbeat is supposed to be the heartbeat of Christ for the generations and the nations, for people to come to God, to be reconciled with God. That's the eternal end of our mission on earth. So here's my question. When my kids leave my house, do they know the purpose for which they were created? And is their heart committed to that? And have I prepared them to accomplish that purpose? And here's what I'm trying to say to you. If I don't have the right end game in mind, the right purpose, then my educational strategy is going to look not like it should. If you have the right purpose, it's going to change the way that you teach. So let's continue to unpack that. Actually, first I want to read from 1 Corinthians 8 to you. We're going to put knowledge in perspective again here real quick. 1 Corinthians 8, and you want to be looking out for knowledge, the term knowledge, and how it's being treated here. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we don't need to worry about, there's this big controversy that Paul's trying to deal with about food offered to idols. And that's not what we're trying to track down here. We know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Okay, so we have a clear contrast between knowledge and love. And what does Paul have to say about that? Knowledge we have knowledge, and knowledge is good. But do you know what knowledge has the tendency to do? Pride. And, you know, you can take knowledge in the wrong direction. But what about love? Love builds up. Love is pure. Love is good. And then what does he say in 1 Corinthians 13? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. So I can have knowledge of all sorts of languages and even cool spiritual, angel languages or whatever. But if I don't have love, whatever. If I give away all, what if I have knowledge? All knowledge and faith, you know, to move mountains. If I have the gift of prophecy and all knowledge, but have not love, you are nothing. Now, does that not put knowledge in a very specific place? And here's what I want to tell you. In our home schools, many of us are running terrified from knowledge because we have to get all of this knowledge into their heads, and I'm not going to be able to do it, and I'm going to ruin them. Okay? But according to a biblical worldview, knowledge has a very specific place. And love is the purpose. If knowledge can be used for love, then good. That's what we're aiming for. Now, here's how this affects our actual teaching. One of the favorite question at my house, actually I'll let you guess it. Why? Is this the favorite question at your house? Why? And it doesn't matter, huh? It's just, and you say, you say something, they say why, and then you say something, and they say why, and you say something, and they say why. You know, there's no end to that. It's just why. And usually it's just to either get you off course or whatever. But why? Now, I think a very legitimate answer is because I said so. Okay, that's a very legitimate answer. But I want to tell you something very important. If you don't ever give them a better answer than why I said so, then they're not going to understand the importance of what you're teaching them. They're going to leave the Hebrew on the paper and walk away. All right? So, if our purpose is love, then here's a good question. Do our children understand why they're learning their subjects in the context of their purpose? That's something to think about. And I would suggest that you create a theology of math, a theology of history, a theology of science. In other words, all of these things end up relating to God and to His existence and to His creation of us and to His ultimate purpose, which is love, which is a relationship with Him. Now, I can't go into all that right now. I bet you'd like me to give you a theology of math, wouldn't you? You're like, yeah, try that one. Yeah, show me how you're going to do that. Okay? Theology of history, maybe that's not as hard. But how about this one? Theology of chores. Right? How about a work ethic based on a biblical perspective? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I would suggest that one of the reasons we struggle to teach so much is we don't have a theology of what we're teaching. We don't even believe in it either, because half the time they say, why do I have to learn that? The honest answer is, I have no idea, because I don't know it and I don't use it. Okay, school's over today. You know, just forget it. And I have come to the point of freeing myself from teaching my children things that I don't know why I'm teaching it. Now, that would be limiting if I kept myself pretty, you know, I'm like, well, I don't understand any of this stuff, so forget it, you know. I don't mean that. I mean, I want to force myself to go deeper and say, why is this important? And how can I help my child appreciate and grasp that? And understand how we are equipping and preparing them to fulfill God's purpose. Actually, two of my kids, y'all behave since I'm going to point you out. two of my children are standing right over there, and Caleb there doesn't particularly enjoy history, or he enjoys some of it, but he often asks the question, why history? Why? And we have had many conversations about this, really, because I don't go, just study history, just do it. I say, okay. And you know what? It challenges me. I have to go, why are we studying it? Why history? And we talk about it. And a lot of times, honestly, he goes, I don't know if that really helps me, you know? So we talk about it again. Okay. We talk about it again. We keep going into this. All right, let's see how this continues to unfold. Oh, there are the scriptures that I already mentioned right there, if you can see them. Sorry. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 9. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. That's what's in orange up there. Number 3, provide as many real-life contexts for learning as possible. Here's a principle underneath that. We gain and remember knowledge more effectively when there is a real need. We gain and retain knowledge more effectively when there is a real need. Now, we already talked about how important it is to have a reason. But here's something to be encouraged by. When we have a real reason, knowledge is easier. It's not nearly as hard when I'm actually trying to accomplish something. And then once again, what's the public school model? Okay. You write a paper that maybe nobody reads, right? And that doesn't prove anything to anybody. Now, maybe every once in a while you get to present your paper in front of the class or whatever. You do a worksheet that accomplishes nothing except drills. Now, I think you should do worksheets. That's fine. It's no big deal. But you have to understand the difference. A classroom, the way we have public school and educational system is a lab. It's not real life. It's you walk into a different room in a different world and you do exercises that aren't real. Supposedly, if you do these exercises that aren't real enough times, then you can run out into the real world and do them. Okay, but the real world isn't like, it's just, it's a hard transfer. So here's the point. Take full advantage of the freedom you have in home education to live real life and put as many of your educational objectives into real life. Here's something very simple. Instead of writing something that only a parent is going to read, you could write a story or a letter or whatever, so that you're saying, hey, write a letter to grandpa, write a letter to the senator, write a letter over here. Or why can't your kids have a blog? Everybody has one. Write a paper. You know what you're going to do with that paper? You're going to put it online. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You are going to publish your work. And then grandpa and grandma probably only. No, other people will read it. Share it with your friends. You know, I remember a pretty interesting situation when my boys wanted to, actually I wanted them to, but they wanted to also. One Christmas, they were really excited to find out that we bought them 30 laying hens. That we didn't have them wrapped or anything, but I gave them like a little feeder and stuff. I said, we're doing chickens. It's going to be awesome. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. But they really got into it. I said, because you can sell the extra eggs and you get to keep all the profits. Thanks, Dad. You know, it's like, okay, so it was exciting. So guess what? The chicks came in this little, you know, you go to the, we got ours at the post office. It was really weird. In this box, and the chicks, only two or three of them were dead in there. And so we unpacked the chicks. But before the chicks came, I said, here's what we have to do. We have to create a place for them to live. A brooder. So here's what I want you to do. Here are the facts. A chick from 0 to 4 weeks needs X amount of room. X amount of feed, X amount of water. I want you to build a place that is big enough for the chicks to live for 2 months. Now, these guys are like, oh, okay, but who cares? They'll die. They don't have enough space. Well, if they die, we're not going to make money. So we need to keep them alive. So we have to do math. So are you following me? Real life math. I did not figure out the area of that brooder for them. They had to figure it out. And now they've raised meat chickens several times, and they have to do all the business themselves. All of the accounting, everything that they do, they have to do it. Now, that may not be the most complex math, but that's real life math, isn't it? So let them explore and do the things that are interesting to them. That's another way. Bethany, my daughter, who was in here just a minute ago, for some reason, she got really excited about weeds. You know, they call them wild foods. You heard of this? Wild foods, because you can eat them, and they're everywhere. So she had this friend, and she got all into weeds. And at first, you're like, that's stupid. You know, don't learn about weeds. And she's like, I didn't actually say that, but she explained, that's exciting, you know. I'm like, you know what? Science, check. Okay? And she spent hours and hours and hours and hours of the last several years studying, being mentored, being out in the field, collecting, processing, all this stuff. She learned all, like, if the economy collapses, we'll all die, and she'll be out in the woods just picking and eating, and we'll die because we picked the wrong one. And I mean, she learned real stuff. It's really interesting. And so just let her. I wouldn't have thought of it. Let's see, what kind of science curriculum can I come up with? I'm not coming up with that. But your kids will find stuff, and it's exciting. Well, that's real life stuff. Let them go do it. Okay? So as much as you can, try to provide real life stuff so that it's not just finish your worksheet. Why? Just because you finished your worksheet and now you know how to do that one thing better. But there's real life impact that would change that experience. All right, let's keep moving. Depend on God's word and spirit. I've got a few more verses here. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. And 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And the last one up there is 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. So if we're aiming for wisdom, and if we're aiming for fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, then we know one way that's very important for us to do that, and that's having the Bible, the Scripture, as a part of our lives. Like, you guys know 2 Timothy 3:16, right? Everybody should have memorized this. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God be equipped, prepared for every good work, or complete. Prepared for what? The good work. Not to pass the test. Righteousness, not knowledge. So if those are our goals, it's the word of God that is useful and powerful for that purpose. What does the word of God do? Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Hey, that's what we're going for. I like reviving the soul too. You know, like, wake up. Sometimes my kids are, they're alive, like their bodies are functioning and they're walking around, but their brains aren't on. Like, they're not, are you following me? Like, sometimes I say to my kids, stop, and they stop. Say, turn your brain on. Like you got up and you started and your brain is not on. You are not aware of yourself and making conscious choices. You're like an animal just reacting to stuff. Just stop. Revive your soul. Wake up. You know what the Word of God does? It says, hold on. Let's become aware of God. Let's become aware of ourselves. Be very careful then how you live, Ephesians 5. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Man, you got to wake up. Be aware. The Word of God revives your soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commands of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. This is great. This is such great stuff about the Word of God. So I have a very simple question. What role does the Bible play in your home education? Where does it show up? And I don't mean, well, you know, the Bible says X. I mean this right here. Watch this. Ready? Opening your Bible up in front of your children and say, I want to read you a verse. And with your voice out loud, reading the Word of God to them. That's, I hope everybody's like, yeah, of course, that's what we do. But you know what? I think a lot of moms in particular, but parents, are so stressed about making sure all the curriculum is covered. And Bible isn't a North Carolina checkoff requirement. So that you can check off your credits, so that you can do your transcript, so you can go to college. Bible isn't in there. Wisdom isn't a checkoff on that. Right? So if you're kind of like in that mindset, and they're not going to be ready for college. They're not going to be able to go to college, you know? And I'm even going to get into why you do have to go to college, but we won't talk about that right now. But if that's what you're thinking, right, then where does the opening the Bible and talking about character and truth come in? It's so important. And what about depending on the Spirit of God? This is one of the most encouraging things. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. You want to accomplish a wisdom, the things of God mission in your home education, then we have to have the Word of God. And do you know what else is so encouraging? You're not the only teacher in the house. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our teacher. He helps us grasp the things of God. Now, I think that would change our attitude if we go into the day without the whole world of education on my shoulders. It's all up to me, because guaranteed I can't do it. Then to go through the day and say, my main objective is to prepare my children to fulfill God's purpose for their lives, which is a relational love purpose. They are going to need knowledge to accomplish that. And I want to impart that knowledge. But the wisdom that they need is going to be imparted by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And a great place to start your school day before your kids get up is you on your knees in prayer, covering the day. Lord, your presence, let it cover the words. Help bring insight. And that one little corner of my son's brain that still isn't on, can you enlighten that? And this math thing over here, please help us. Because we just can't get past this fraction thing. And just pray. Say, ask God to come and work and be a part of that. He can help. But more importantly, He can give wisdom. That's the main point of this verse, is that he's going to help. It's not all up to me. Because God is at work here. That's, good. Whew. God is at work here. And if my kids go off and do well, I'm not going to wonder why. Because I've been praying for them. And I've been expecting and watching God presently working in their lives as we're raising them. He has done it. And he will do it. All right, let's do the last two. Emphasize character and life skill. Okay, there's a big difference between knowledge and character and knowledge and skill, right? Knowledge isn't a skill. You can know the facts about how to do something without being able to go out and do it, okay? That requires the connection of your hand and your brain in a repetitive format until you're able to accomplish a task. Then you have a skill. Knowledge is not the same as that. And what's interesting, again, is we have idolized and put knowledge as the ultimate goal, and so children are walking out of school with no skill. Also, knowledge isn't the same as character. That's easier, isn't it? For example, do you know that some of the most brilliant and knowledgeable people in the world were the most evil people in the world and killed the most people in the world? Do you understand what I'm saying? These are very smart people, very knowledgeable people. So if that's the end game for you, I just want them to be really knowledgeable and smart. Okay, I mean, I hope they don't turn into a criminal and do... we're talking about character here. What is the good of a knowledgeable person who doesn't understand righteousness? Tell me that. What is the good of that? A knowledgeable person who doesn't understand righteousness. I have no use for that person. I don't want them leading my country. I don't want them leading my business. You see what I'm saying? That's not good enough. What's the good of a knowledgeable person who has no courage? What if they even know what's right, but they don't have the courage to stand for what's right in the world? I would rather have a person who doesn't know that much, but knows what's right and has the courage to stand for truth than a really smart guy. Are you following me? Again, I'm not bashing knowledge, but we have got to have this in perspective. So focus on skill. Focus on character. And what about skill? You know, what's interesting is you have kids graduating from college in our country, and they were still taking all their clothes home to be washed. And they were still using their parents' bank account. And they were going out to eat all the time. You're talking about people who don't know how to live their life and go shopping and cook a meal besides noodles and balance a checkbook and pay their own car insurance, right? And wash their own clothes. And this is just people, and they're like, they go out and they literally don't know what to do. There are people like that. And so we're talking about life skills, and we could even raise the bar a little bit, because we have, you know, with all of the rumors of economic collapse, you know, what's going to happen? Well, I don't see how it's not going to collapse sometime. I don't know when. It may not be in our lifetime, but it's gonna. I mean, there's no saving where we are. But here's the point, economically. I'm just talking about economically in our country. But what happens if you can't go to the grocery store? So it's interesting, and I think it's a great teaching tool. We do this a little bit. It's interesting. Can you grow food? I mean, we're not even talking about going to the grocery store. Can you grow food? Can you sow? Can you hunt? Can you cut wood. You know what I'm saying? We're just talking about people, stuff that everybody used to have to do. This is skill. Could you live if there wasn't a Walmart? Most people just die. They just go. And they would just lay on the street. Walmart's not open. And they just die because there's nothing else to do. Literally, our culture is just amazing. How unable to take care of ourselves we are. So emphasize, think about skill. That's not going to be in the curriculum. Cut wood is not going to be on the transcript. All right, last one. Well, let me make sure that's everything I wanted to say about that. All right, last one. Teach skills for lifelong learning. We're going to narrow down to one specific skill. And I want to suggest this is the most important skill you're going to teach your children. And here it is. Can they learn stuff by themselves? That's a skill they have to learn. You have to teach it to them. Because guess what? You are not going to be able to teach your children everything they need to know for life before they leave. I honestly believe that's going to be a shocker for some of us. Somehow, I think we've got in our minds that I have until they're 18 years old to give them every piece of knowledge they need to have a successful life. And if I don't cover Algebra 1, if I don't cover this certain point in history, right, they will be criminals. I don't know what they think is going to happen. But it's like there's this idea that I have to get all of the specific pieces of knowledge that some person in a political position has said I need to have given them, or they're going to be ruined. But here's what we have to actually understand. You can't give them all the knowledge they're going to need to be successful for their lives. It's impossible for several reasons. One, that's too much knowledge. Two, you don't know what kind of knowledge they need. It's an easy way to prove this. I want you to imagine a pie chart in your mind. And in this pie chart is your knowledge. Your knowledge, okay? And I would like to narrow that down to working knowledge. Not something that you used to know, if you knew the presidents at one point, right? But something that you actually work from, knowledge that you use, okay? That's what's in there. I would like for you to create a slice of that pie chart that represents how much of your working knowledge you got in school, up till high school. Be honest. How much of your working knowledge that you use every day did you learn in school? And I would even be tempted to throw in university as if you learned your field there. Most people didn't. Okay? I would say that you're going to have a smaller sliver of that pie than most of us believe in the way that we live our lives. Because here's what happens. You know, I taught... one of my best friends is the chair of the computer science department at Appalachian State University, and he talked to people at Google that have, where is it, Lenore or something? There's like a place there, a Google place. And so he was talking to them because he's raising these computer guys who want to go into the workforce, and they would like to work for Google or somewhere. And he said, what are you guys looking for? The chair of the computer science asked the people at Google, what are you looking for? Well, people who get along with others, people who learn quickly. Okay, huh? Okay, so do you know what happens when you graduate from college with whatever your field is, and then you go to the business, do you know what they do? They train you. Because you can't learn all the special, specific, hardware or software or procedure that goes in a particular business. You can't. You have to keep learning. That's just how it is. You a good learner. Now, a lot of those basic computer science degree, for example, it's great. It's helpful. You have to have that base knowledge, I guess. Could you learn that somewhere else? Yes, you can, actually. But we don't have to, again, completely bash knowledge. But just understand that they have to keep learning later. Have you prepared them to do that? Okay, we are almost done, and I want to tell you about a book. I have it right here. And actually, I'm going to tempt you to come to my next session. This is called How to Read a Book. Has anybody heard of this book? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Usually in a homeschool group, more people have heard of this book. Has anybody read this book? Cool. This book was transformational to me, and I only read it a couple of years ago. And if our goal is to give our children the skill of learning, because you can't give them all. This is like, okay, you can give your kid a fish or you can teach them to fish. It's that kind of thing. You're going to spoon feed them every piece of knowledge, every piece of fish, right? But if you teach them to fish, lifetime. Got it. Teach them to learn. One of the most important ways, I would say the most important way to teach people to learn, to teach your children to learn, is to know how to read a book. And in fact, the process of reading a book is about reading anything or processing any kind of information. Okay? This is required reading at my house now. Like, you can't graduate from our home school until you've read this book with Dad. How to Read a Book. Almost my entire next session is about this. Okay? It's called Raising Lifelong Learners. So this last point, I'm about to unpack to take it to another degree in talking about this. And so a couple of points I want to give you, at least for this session, especially if you can't make it. Of course, you can get the audio anyway. Here's a couple of points. One is the way that we were taught to read is wrong. Now, I went to lots of school. Like, I did as much university and graduate school as I ever did before that. Master's degrees, PhD, all this stuff. And you know what? I still didn't learn part of what's in here about reading and research until doing my dissertation at the end of my PhD. Then I started figuring out how books worked a little bit so I could just finish my dissertation. And then I read this and I still learned stuff. So you might be sitting there going, "Sir, are you telling me that I don't know how to read a book?" Yes, that is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that you don't know how to read a book. I didn't know how to read a book. I'm telling you, I'm serious. How? And so let me tell you some of the things we're going to talk about. That I'm just recommending this book, but these are some things that you need to teach your children. Most books in the world aren't worth reading. Don't waste your time reading books that aren't worth reading. Here is an important skill that this teaches you that you can teach your children. Do you know how to teach your children how to pick the right books to read, the best books to read, before you read them, without slavishly following somebody's book list? Okay? You can develop the skill of assessing a book, understanding what it is, and whether it's worth you reading it or not before you read it. And this is one of the skills that this teaches. This has saved me lots of time. I'm telling you what. We waste a lot of time. And we're overwhelmed by the stack of books, the stack of unfinished books. You know what we do? We start in page one. We're like, oh, I don't know what this book's about, so I'm going to start reading it. Page one. So I'm going to start reading page two, page three. And then I get to page 22 and go, I don't know. I might read it later. 24 books later, I haven't read a whole book in I don't know how long, right? And then when your friend comes and said, here's a great book, you're like, no, I don't want any more books. I don't read books. And here's another thesis from this, and that is the most important books that we need to read are the books that are hard to read. Those are the books we don't read. I mean, you know, we read it and go, oh, I don't really get this. No, that's not. When we know this is an important book and I don't get it, okay, that's when you keep reading. And this book gives you the skill to get books that are hard to understand. Is that not a good thing to teach your kids? Here's what I want. I want my kids to go out, to be shot out of my house, right, as an arrow, going out with confidence. Now our confidence has been transferred, and they know this. If I need to learn anything, any skill, any knowledge, I can do it. I know how. I know how to find the information I need. I know how to process it, interpret it, analyze it, critique it. There's a whole huge section on logic, processing evidence, knowing how to assess arguments, and coming to your own conclusion, critical thinking. Do we want our kids to be able to know how to do that? This is a skill, okay? Listen to what I'm saying. This is not knowledge. This is a skill, and it's not on the checkoff list for North Carolina public school. You know what I'm saying? What you have to have. It's not on the transcript. You have to do it. Okay, so that's at 450, by the way. If you want to raise lifelong learners, and talk more about this. I'm going to unpack the 6 best secrets from this book. Unfortunately, you have to walk down to the Presbyterian Church, because that's where that's where that session is. It's only a block, though, so come on. And we're going to talk more about raising lifelong learners. I want to tell you one more thing just about my ministry before you leave. Oh, wow, I totally lost you. Truth to Freedom, Biblical Truth for a Life of Freedom. I want to tell you what I'm passionate about. I want to help people live in intimacy with Christ, in victory over sin, and powerful ministry. I want to see every believer living in that. And that's what my blog is for. That's what I write for. That's what I talk for. That's what I love to speak about. And so if you go to truthtofreedom.org, and if you got out your phone right now and went to truthtofreedom.org, I would not be thinking that you're not listening to me. Truthtofreedom.org. And I just have a blog. You can read stuff. I have lots of free downloads. All of my messages, almost all of them, they're just free. You can download them. You can listen to them. So I want to tell you 4 reasons before we finish why you should sign up for my post updates. Which means you give me the email and you get in your inbox updates of whatever I might be writing or whatever audio I put up from talks like this. One, I already told you, my heart is for discipleship. My heart is to build spiritually, and I want families, especially parents, to know how to disciple their kids. And those are the kind of tools that I like to put out. And so if any of this kind of thing has been helpful to you, then you might want to get updates. Here's the second reason. Next March, we're having in Boone, where I live, in the beautiful mountains of North Carolina, a marriage retreat, a marriage conference in Boone that I'm going to be teaching. And it's in the middle of March, March 16, 17, and 18. But I don't have all the details. But if you're on my email list, you will get the first piece of information. That's what I'm saying. because that conference is going to be coming up 2017 in March. And I'm focusing specifically on the marriage and how to have a purpose and peace, productivity in your marriage. Okay, and it's going to be a great time, a great conference in March next year. So you'll get that information. Here's the next reason. I am going to be finishing, I've actually finished writing it, but I'm going to be publishing a book by the end of this year called How to Love God. You kind of know my heart on that. And it's a practical discipleship handbook. This is what I want to give a dad and say, here, disciple your kids. Because I talk to people all the time and they go, well, I was never really discipled. I don't know what that means. Well, then you need to read it yourself first, right? But then the next question is, how do I disciple my kids? And it's just all the basics, basic stuff, very practical stuff. And so again, if you're on the list, you will find out immediately when that comes out, okay? And you'll be able to have that information. And so I have one other temptation for you. I hope it's a temptation to sign up for this, seriously. Because I love to give this away. I love to give things away. The last three sessions I gave at NCHE, you can download all of those for free. One of them is 10 ways to teach your children to discern God's will for their life. Okay? Another was this, how to help your children become self-motivated. And the other one is how to stop the fighting in your home. Those are three sessions that I did at other conferences. And as soon as you can do it right now, as soon as you click enter, there'll be a link at that spot. It'll take you to a different page, and you can download all three of those immediately. Honestly, I just want to be able to connect with you and give you what I'm learning, what I'm teaching, because I want people to be equipped for these reasons. Okay, I love this part. I've hardly ever have this time, and that is we have a couple minutes, right? Where's you? We have a couple minutes for questions or comments, anything, a question that I can answer about anything we talked about so far. Yes. Oh, thank you. Mortimer Adler. Mortimer Adler. He even has an awesome name, huh? On Amazon for $10.28. Yes. Oh, yeah, you mean like on iTunes? Oh, yeah. You can't subscribe to that right this second. Sorry. That's a total bummer. But all the ones that I have are on the website. So you can go listen to streaming or download every podcast that I've had on truthtofreedom.org. I just got an email that said your link just broke and I have to fix it. I'll fix it. Yeah. Good. Any other questions? Yes. I am a pastor at Highland Christian Fellowship in Boone. And I'm in transition from wanting to spend a lot more of my time doing this because I have an awesome elder team that can work with me on the pastoring part. So, yeah, this is what I am focusing on the most. Good. I have one last thought if you don't have another question before we go. Anything else? Okay. You want to give your children wisdom, right? You want to give your children a heart for God. Here's my question. What can you give them that you don't have? And so the most challenging and wonderful part of my spiritual growth is to realize that I can't give my kids a heart for God when I don't have a heart for God. And I can't give my kids wisdom when I don't have wisdom. Now, God can make up for a lot of my lack, and he'll get the credit, right? But I want to show them and live it. And so, do you know what I'm realizing? The absolute most important thing to do, to have confidence and to be able to give them what they need, is my relationship with God. Where am I? You know? What's your time with God look like? Your relationship with him. Are you happy where your relationship with God is? Would you want to pass on your relationship with God to your children? Or do you want them to have something different? I suggest you get whatever you want to give them. And you'll be able to understand it. You'll be able to pass it on. All right, thanks. It's been awesome being with you guys.